There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
That's yes, Chris. Thank you, mister. Yes, Chris. Thank you, mister.
No, I don't think that's acceptable.
What do you mean? That's not a song?
I don't know. No.
You are my master. Thank you for owning me. Thank you for purchasing
Marcus,
me,
are we recording?
Mr. Henry.
Yep. All right. That's Marcus. I'm Ben. And then we got that guy over there.
He will never, never, never.
No.
It's Taylor Swift, everybody.
Ugh.
Hey, guys. Can I tell you why Jake Gyllenhaal doesn't love me anymore?
Why, Taylor? What did you do to him?
I just think that her vagina makes fart noises.
I'm sure it does.
There's got to be something horrible.
Oh, absolutely.
Because no one can continue to date her.
No.
She's the number one pop star of the decade.
She's an idiot.
And no one can date her.
She is not a very smart person when it comes to like social situations.
I feel bad for her.
That's right. And you're also...
No, I don't.
Henry Zebrowski. That is Henry Zebrowski.
Hey, what's going on?
So Henry alerted Marcus and I with another shocking email. That's right. Hot off the disgusting presses. We get an email, and Henry was searching around on 4chan for serial killers. He discovered a man...
I wasn't sure. Well, because the problem... Let's start from the very beginning of the...
Okay, serial killers are in the news right now. Obviously, there's the Crazy 8 killer happening here in New York City, which I'm sure has been covered on New York City Crime Report.
Yeah,
so we won't get
it's
too much into it.
It's a very boring serial killer story.
It is extremely boring. I have seen the headlines on the Post day in, day out.
Right.
I keep picking up the paper hoping for some sort of salacious detail. Just a crumb of something
right.
that we can use. Nothing.
It's just some dude
going around blasting middle-aged Middle Eastern men.
It's just really strange. And now we've got, because all of the suspects are also horribly named. You got the John Doe duffel bag,
John Doe bubble coat. And then Jane Doe green jacket. So clever writing. They're supposed to be punny, I thought, over there at the Daily News and the New York Post.
Come up with some snappy names. Call them. It's like Mr. Belvedere and
Ronnie, run.
Bacon bags.
Yeah. You never know. Maybe there's bacon in his bags.
Think of a story. Make up a story.
That's all you do is make up stories. But anyway, Henry uncovered a real serial killer, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's the most disgusting serial killer we've ever heard about. His nickname is the Toy Box Killer, and his full name is David Parker Ray.
Now, you may have heard of this before if you're one of the more depraved members of our listenership.
Yep.
But that's the thing is that I had barely heard of this guy, and I thought, I did not know I could reach the bottom of my serial killer knowledge.
Right.
I thought that I was the guy to look to for serial killer information.
Yeah.
And then this guy just comes shooting out of the stratosphere. This guy is from the minor leagues, shooting his way up to the fucking majors. Immediately, we're talking Dahmer caliber. Top five serial killers. I didn't know about them.
And I'm telling
you. Which makes me feel like someone was hiding it from me.
Well,
me feel fucking paranoid.
Nobody was
hiding it from me?
Well, people were hiding it, though, and it comes down to market. This all take place, everything that we're going to talk about today, took place in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
And that's the thing, you just got to stick with the old Mexico.
Well,
they don't even have televisions over there. So much better. You know, like old Mexico, you got your tacos, you got your flautas.
You got your beheadings.
You got your
Now,
you're talking about new old Mexico. I'm talking about old, old Mexico, mm-hmm. where it was just Mayans and tacos and just...
I think you're mushing together some history here.
I'm just saying...
I think you're mushing together a couple hundreds of years.
I have a specific perspective
uh-huh.
about Mexico
and what
I see of Mexico, because I went to Mexico once, Cozumel, my cruise ship landed there, and then I had lovely quesadillas... Just sitting over there next to the beach.
So you have a white Floridian's view of Mexico.
Cozumel is beautiful.
I'm sure it represents Mexico
But then we've got this new Mexico.
That's right.
That's filled with toy box killers.
David Ray Parker.
I love New Mexico.
So let's just clarify why they call him the toy box killer. Marcus, I know you have a lot of information.
I have a ton of information.
Why don't we get into the, let's set the mood with what.
We will never, never, never.
No, that's not a mood setter.
You need to get a new bit. No more pop stars. I'm making a decree right now. No more pop music.
I hate
no more pop music.
But that's a problem. Is as soon as you say this, soon as you put one rule on someone like as me, who is as free as I am, someone who is like an eagle on fucking weed, a weed smoking,
a weed eagle. Hawk.
Can't you just get back to racism?
I guess I could.
Yeah, you can always dabble in the dark arts.
But I started with racism.
That's, yeah, exactly. He already did racism, so now he's just got to go to phase two.
Get something new. Get some new shit, man.
What do you want from me?
I want something new.
I'm not just an endless supply of bullshit here.
Yeah, you are.
I want to hear about the toy box killer. So what's going on here, Marcus?
Well, I'll set the mood. All of this happened in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, which is in central New Mexico.
I choose truth.
Jesus Christ.
Well, Truth or Consequences, spooky name, right?
It is a spooky name.
You want to know it? Do you want to know where the name comes from?
Yes.
Originally named Hot Springs, the city changed its name to Truth or Consequences, the title of a popular NBC radio program.
That's stupid.
In 1950, Ralph Edwards, the host of the radio quiz show Truth or Consequences, announced that he would air the program from the first town that renamed itself after the show.
It's because people in New Mexico, they thought that was God talking to them. Yeah. They're like, that rock making noise.
Welcome to Parks and Recreation, Indiana. Come on down here, Amy Poehler, so you could look at our Dairy Queen.
Oh, God. Welcome to Monk, New York. Do we have to go after Monk?
But these murders where the toy box killer David Parker Ray, where these actually happened, were in Elephant Butte, New Mexico.
Elephant butt.
It's elephant butt. Or butte.
It's Elephant Butte. Elephant Butte.
Marcus Butte? Really gets upset about this, by the way.
He does not like us misusing the term butt.
It's B-U-T-T-E, and you're dumb enough to name your town
It's like malt shop. When you spell it with the two P's in the E, you still call it malt shop. You don't call it malt shoop.
Yes.
Well, an Elephant Butte, what it is, I'm not going to call it Elephant Butt.
That's fine.
I'm not. So, it's Elephant Butte is a...
just...
It's a man-made reservoir. And just like any other man-made reservoir, any other body of water in a desert, drifters start popping up all around it, setting up pup tents, setting up trailers, and setting up tiny little houses, just like our man David Parker Ray set up this horrible flat. I saw a picture of the place. It's this horrible flat-roofed place in the middle of the desert, and next to this flat-roofed, horrible, horrible domicile is a trailer.
Now, my question is this like an off-the-grid area, like where no one owns these lands? You can just set up shop?
It's more like a national park type of situation because David Parker
Ray. Again with these national parks.
Because David Parker Ray was a mechanic for the Parks Department.
Another government serial killer, by the way.
Him and BTK.
Another governor and worker.
So this man had access to, I mean, he knew
all sorts of lawnmowers and hoes and rakes.
That will actually come into play later.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But he also had access to miles and miles of abandoned land. And all around this area were abandoned caves, abandoned mines.
Abandoned
tons.
Soap factories.
I mean, so that's one angle on the horror situation. You have isolation and you have terrain that you don't know anything
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely perfect setup for the serial killer looking for no little funny nosy neighbors.
That's right.
Because that's what Dahmer had a problem with. Was all his neighbors were all like, what's this smell? Why are people screaming in Filipino? Why are you walking around mumbling yourself about making fuck zombies?
I know. Dahmer needed to get his life together, move out to the suburbs, get a nice house. I can't believe he tried to pull all that off in an apartment.
I was rewatching the documentary where Dahmer was sitting down with his father, like kind of talking about why he is who he is. I remember
Evolution did it, by the way. That's Dahmer's big excuse.
Like last night, too, it was like after Holden brought it up because Holden is a mini Dahmer in training.
Right.
He was watching a documentary. I rewatched it and him talking about it's like, I didn't really want to kill him, but and then I tried to put acid in their brains to see if I could make them zombies, but that didn't work. So
I just wanted to watch the Packers game and drink a couple of big Cowboys.
I didn't necessarily want him to die. I just thought that we'd be friends, you just pour a bunch of acid in your brain.
But I'm just from Wisconsin, so I just rolled him up into a bratwurst.
Oh, he made it a bratwurst,
little brainwurst, I used to call it, and laugh a little bit to myself. Anyway, back to David Parker Ray, who is really, by the end of this episode, I think you can make a decision for yourself, but he might trump Dahmer.
Here's a little bit of background information on David Parker Ray, speaking of fathers.
I can't believe you said something like that.
I know, Dahmer is our champion of all serial killers, as we've talked about before, and I'm telling you, DPR's got a good second running going right now.
Well, David Parker Ray was a severely neglected child. He was shuttled between family members all throughout his childhood. His father, who was a truck driver, a bit of a drifter himself, would show up about once a month with a huge bag full of S&M porno mags.
Cool.
And we're not talking like classy kink.com shit here. We're talking like
over the road truck driver porno. Yeah. That's all you have to say. People understand exactly what that is.
Yeah, because kink.com is new. Kink just made S&M porn fine.
Yeah.
Like, just now.
Very controlled. Okay, so let's go into some details. So we have a shitty house next to a very nice trailer that he spent over $100,000 to make.
Yes, we're building towards this. We're gonna see. We're gonna spell out the tale. We don't want to spoil this precious gift.
Yes.
And so this man, he was obsessed with pornography all of his life. Specifically,
different
S&M
than
porno.
Us.
Much different.
I hope
that
so.
We're into is very. I guess it's different, right?
Yeah.
Tell me it's different.
I mean, I hope that the black cheerleader orgy that I watched last night is much better than the S&M porn that this guy was watching.
I think so, right?
Yeah, they were just trying to win their cheer competition.
Everyone's fine. Yeah.
That's fine, right?
Yeah. No, you have to win the cheer competition. If it blowing a couple of dudes makes you do
watching
it.
Watching a stepmom help her young stepdaughter make love to her boyfriend properly is a thing that's all about building community.
I only watch pornos where at the end the woman learns to read. Which I always think is really interesting. It always has to
that
have a nice
boring,
educational
art. That is very boring.
Well, it gets crazy. You know?
You're saying it's just two people just sitting naked learning to read?
Yeah, and then I don't even have a computer. I just stare at my window at the school. Anyway.
this man, David Parker Ray, I mean, keep in mind, first of all, that all of this...
He's got three names.
David Parker Ray. So, and remember that when he was caught, he was 59 years old.
That's right.
He had been doing this a long time. In 1999, too. This is very recent.
Yeah. And he was married four times before he found the love of his life.
He's a lover.
Cindy Hendy.
Her name is Cindy Hendy.
Yeah.
Cindy Hendy. Is Cindy short for anything?
No. Cindy's just Bubba. Cindy.
My name's Cindy Bubba Hendy.
Cindy. So,
let's just call you Cindy.
Yeah. Cindy Hendy. It's like a Dr. Seuss story.
Cindy Hendy, how are you?
Helping rape a girl.
Cindy herself had a horrible childhood. She was molested at 11, and when she went by her stepfather.
That's what happens if you have a Ryman name. Ryman name is just a detract molestation.
Mm-hmm. So Cindy was.
Silly
raped.
Billy got fucking. got it hardcore. I knew him growing up. Silly Billy was not. Couldn't be left alone by adults.
Yeah, my name only kind of rhymes, so I got sideways molested
all the time. Parkus. Yeah.
Just a couple of dick slaps. So Cindy Hendy.
Is that what a sideways molested means? I was wondering, what is sideways molested?
It's just when a naked man
exactly.
runs past you very fast. And it's just, you just clip. You get clipped on the shoulder with
his penis. I think I was just sideways molested. No one's going to believe my tale.
And so she, when she went to her mother saying like, Mommy, my stepdad molested me. The mother chose the stepfather and kicked her out.
That happens every now and again.
Yeah, that'll happen. And then she was a failed coke dealer. She was also a violent sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
And she met David Parker Ray while on a work release program for domestic violence at Elephant Butte.
Oh, Elephant Butte. My question is, what did she look like?
She had she was blonde, long blonde hair, had kind of a mutt. Okay, all of the women involved in this, they were trashy in a way that only existed in the late 90s.
Oh, yes.
Right. But especially in New Mexico.
We'll
they
call
were
it
all
the Tonya Harding effect.
Yeah. Exactly, yes, absolutely.
All it really is.
Like, they were back when, like, trashy women could still be skinny without the help of meth.
Right.
Like they were just using constant aerobics. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And so that's kind of the women that you want in your mind. Most of the women were blonde. A couple of them were dark haired. But Cindy Hendy herself was blonde and somewhat skinny. She had but she had like a full face.
Party animal.
Definitely a party
animal. I got both kind of pants. Stretchy pants and sweatpants.
And it is interesting that you mentioned party animal because these people, David Parker Ray, he chose certain people to surround surround himself with. Specifically, he chose drunks and drug addicts because they were less likely to remember what happened the night before.
Oh, of course,
the next
yeah.
day. And
I'm sure he liked his he did his fair share of both.
He sauced yeah. it up a little bit.
Man, absolutely. They must have had such a good party for so long in his terms.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into what a party is a little bit later.
I'm saying there's so long they were just hamming it up. Yeah.
So now let's expand the accomplice list to two more people. Jessie Ray, who was David's daughter from a previous marriage, and her boyfriend Roy Yancey.
Did they all fuck?
I don't know if they did.
I would not be surprised.
I can neither deny nor confirm that.
Thank you, yeah. Bill Clinton.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but you know what? I would say no because David Parker Ray, reading some of the transcripts and seeing, I think he had limits.
Yeah, I think he
I don't know how you got that
much.
Out of these transcripts. I'm not sure what limits. Exactly.
I really do.
I think his limits
were very far, but I think he would have drawn the line at it.
But at the same time, he was just trying to help his daughter into his career.
Yeah, he definitely raped his daughter. He raped his daughter. Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, maybe not.
Definitely. Maybe.
Neither confirmed nor denied.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
no longer around to ask.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
No,
okay.
He's not.
I almost feel bad talking bad behind his back.
That's the thing.
So his daughter, Jessie Ray, and his wife, Cindy Hendy.
So much trash.
Yeah, so much trash.
Jessie Ray, Cindy Hendy. Roy Yancey.
Yeah.
You get in here on the double, Roy Yancey.
Yeah, and Roy.
That's the only way I know how to move.
Woo! And Roy was a bit of a sociopath himself. One year in Truth or Consequences, they had to cancel Halloween because Roy and a gang of his friends went on a rampage around town, strangling cats and flipping over gravestones.
Cool.
So it doesn't sound like they canceled Halloween to me. It sounds like you had a hell of a Halloween that year.
So the bar that a lot of the victims were brought from, a place called the Blue Waters Saloon, full of drifters.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I mean, just filled to the brim with drifters.
I've never been to a drifter bar.
They're scary.
I mean, yeah, you're not a drifter. You don't want to go to one.
You know what I mean? You don't think me showing up with my Evangelion shirt on and my Batman hat would do well at a drifter bar?
No, I think you'd do great. You'd end up chained up in somebody's fucking sweet torture chamber in their toy box.
Oh, God.
I'd make them laugh, though.
Mm-hmm. You would make them laugh.
Make them laugh.
But it's like the same way that people laughed when you had your mustache. Like, you wouldn't actually say anything, and they would just, like, laugh at you. God, we had to... Yeah, never mind.
So let's get to the victims. At 513 Bass Road... The domicile of the toy box killer.
Now, so we'll just get into the sweet meat of this of this thing. What makes this is the fucking don't fear the reaper of David Parker Ray. This is the fucking until it sleeps.
Yeah.
I don't know why I even thought of that song
because it's creepy.
Until it sleeps.
Well, mostly is that unsettling video, which was only unsettling because you saw Lars Ulrich all painted in gold and
there was no reason
hissing.
For it. There was that was
yeah, Lars.
That was a
good.
A bad era for Metallica.
Although that video did get me in, that video did get me into Hieronymus Bosch. So there's that much.
That's what that yeah, it yeah. did. That was yeah. really good. Good imagery
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
David Parker Ray, in order to fully extend his fantasies into reality, spent a large sum of money, over $100,000, building a secret torture dungeon in the trailer next to his home. This thing was a rock solid torture house that he had built specifically
the mecca of torture houses.
For no one to escape from, and no one did.
It's about the size of a double wide. No,
yes.
Wait, no, it's about half the size of a double wide. It is a single wide.
It is pretty fucking insane. Inside,
right.
It was equipped with a series of torture devices. Like
Marcus,
give us
some of those devices.
There was one that he made. It was a DIY breast shocker.
Do-it-yourself breast shocker.
Yeah, he made it
Did
himself.
Did he get that on Etsy?
Yeah.
No, he made it himself. Because remember, he was a mechanic. So a lot of the torture devices that he had in this room were
trained
homemade.
By the government, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, another great job, government.
Yeah, he had them all homemade. He had a leg stretcher. He had my favorite part. I saw because the whole thing was extremely well organized, and there was one of those little metal signs hanging up next to all of the tools, and it said, I'm rather busy. Would you piss off?
Oh, yeah. And there was the other one, if they're worth taking, they're worth keeping.
Yeah.
And, so he had some flair up there on the walls.
But yeah, it was very TGI Fridays. Mm-hmm.
However, his favorite...
with sunglasses on going like, hey there, baby.
Yeah, there was a kitten hanging on from a fucking cliff. And hang in there, kid.
But his favorite toy out of all of them... the gynecological chair.
Now, this gynecological chair would sit in the middle of the room, and above it was this giant mirror, and in front of it was a video camera, and he would videotape everything that was happening to the girls that would wake up strapped to this gynecological chair, and it was positioned in a way so that they were looking at the mirror so they could see everything that was happening to them.
Right. So that's what the room looks like.
That's what the room looks like.
And it also has wood paneling on the walls.
Wood paneling. So,
yeah. So it was classy in the 70s.
Yeah. So these women are kidnapped. They're drugged. They wake up in a random place. They may or not be gagged. And then he would play a transcript.
This is where horror movies meet reality. This is a totally true scenario. These women would wake up. And they would snap awake from being drugged.
Right.
The idea is that they would snatch them, and they would drug them, and then they would wake up naked, tied to these chairs.
So you can just imagine that fear, you know.
Yes.
Usually then, they'd roofie them in the Blue Water Saloon, like, honey, you're drunk. You need to get a ride home.
Yeah, and then he would take them back to the toy box. Because he called this place his toy box. And they would wake up to a tape playing of David Parker Wray speaking. And when I read about this originally, I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, that was the first thing. I was like, you mean it to, like, really? Like, this is what happened. So I did some digging.
It's Saw. It's what Jigsaw
does. It's Saw.
Does.
It is literally Saw. I did some digging, and I found the actual transcript from the video. I could not find any audio because they destroyed the tapes. They gave the tapes to one of the victims' families. And this is the other thing, too. I don't know if we need to follow up with some more details of the fact that he was never even convicted of murder because no one could find any remains. The only reason they got him on like these like
yeah.
50
let's
different...
talk. We can talk about his.
Yeah,
conclusion.
I've got a lot of the sentencing information.
I want
later
you to.
On.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So
we'll get once we get to the sentencing.
Yeah, you're tied to a chair. You've just been drugged. You're hungover. You're drowsy. You're tied to a chair. You might be gagged. These are steel chains holding you down. You wake up and this is what you hear.
I mean, I would express. You know what you should do as well if you're alone in your house, right? Do this. Take off all your clothes.
Right.
Do it. Take off
your clothes. All right. Well, that's getting creepy.
Take off your clothes. Sit in a chair. Tie yourself to it with some rags. All right?
Jesus.
Hopefully you've smoked a bowl. All right? Imagine. Put yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like metal. You are strapped to a chair.
Metal and wood panels and
you wake
must.
Up. Your first thing, I imagine it's a little cold in there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You're entirely naked. You don't know where you are. And you hear this voice. Hello there, bitch. Are you comfortable right now? I doubt it. Wrists and ankles chained. Gagged. Probably blindfolded. You're disoriented and scared too, I would imagine. Perfectly normal under the circumstances. For a little while, at least, you need to get your shit together and listen to this tape. It is very relevant to your situation. I'm going to tell you in detail why you have been kidnapped, what's going to happen to you, and how long you'll be there. I don't know the details of your capture because this tape is being created July 23rd, 1993 as a general advisory tape for future female captives. Now, you are obviously here against your will, totally helpless. Don't know where you're at, don't know what's going to happen to you. You're very scared or very pissed off. I'm sure that you've already tried to get your wrists and ankles loose and know that you can't. Now you're just waiting to see what's going to happen next. You probably think you're going to be raped. And you're fucking sure right about that. Our primary interest is in what you got between your legs. You'll be raped thoroughly and repeatedly in every hole you've got. Because basically, you've been snatched and brought here for us to train and use as a goddamn sex slave. Sound kind of far out? Well, I suppose it is to the uninitiated, but we do it all the time. It's going to take a lot of adjustment on your part, and you're not going to like it a fucking bit. But I don't give a big rat's ass about that. It's not like you're going to have any choice about the matter. You've been taken by force, and you're going to be kept and used by force. What all this amounts to is that you're going to be kept naked and chained up like an animal, to be used and abused anytime we want to, any way that we want to. And you might as well start getting used to it, because you're going to be kept here and used until such time as we get tired of fucking around with you. And we will eventually in a month or two, maybe three. It's no big deal. My lady friend and I have been involved keeping sex slaves for years. We both have kinky hang-ups involving rape, dungeon games. We found it's extremely convenient to keep one or two female captives available constantly to satisfy our particular needs. We are very selective when we snatch a girl to use for these purposes. It goes without saying that you have a fine body and you're probably young, maybe very young. Because for our purposes, we prefer to snatch girls in the early to mid-teens, sexually developed, but still small-bodied, scared shitless, easy to handle and easy to train. And they usually have tiny little pussies and assholes. They make perfect slaves. Anytime that we go on a hunting trip, if we can't find a little teenager, we really start hitting the gay bars, looking for a well-built, big-tittied lesbian. I thoroughly enjoy raping and screwing around with lesbians. And there's not as much danger of them carrying a sexually transmitted disease. And I don't like using condoms. Also, even though they're a little older, unless they've been playing with dildos a lot, they still have tight holes between their legs, like the younger girls.
All right. Well, that's a great little sample there. Nice, diverse. He's not homophobic. Very good to hear.
And there'll be more coming up later.
Absolutely. All right. So that's what you wake up to, and that's what you hear. So let's get into what did his accomplice do? Let's talk about Cindy Hindy. What was her role exactly? Or do we want to start going into some more of the sex party type things?
Well, let's actually, now that we've got that mood set, let's go to one of the victims, Kelly Garrett. Kelly Garrett was a woman who was taken, and this works into your question, she was taken from the Blue Water Saloon by Jesse Ray, who was one of her friends.
This is really just House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yes.
Rob Zombie must have heard this story.
Incredibly organized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. So Kelly Garrett gets into a fight with her husband. She goes to the Blue Water Saloon to try to drink away her troubles. Jesse Ray roofies her drink, say like, honey, why don't I need to take you home?
I mean, did she win or lose the fight with her husband? Well, like, if you find out.
Here's what happened. Is that she goes off with Jesse Ray, and then she blacks out. She only starts getting, and from then on, she only has flashes of what happened, but doesn't really know. 3 days later, she comes to. Like, just out in the middle of nowhere, have no idea what happened to her. She goes back to her husband, tells her husband what happened. He doesn't believe her, kicks her out, and never forgives her. And the woman like moves away from truth or consequences. She doesn't know what happens to her until years later. But we'll get to that.
But that's also very
important. We'll get to how she found out later. The next one, and by the way, the only ones that we're going through right now are the ones that they were prosecuted for.
Because there were a lot of them.
There were a lot of them. And there was no evidence.
No one ever found any bodies of the ones that they had to murder.
Yeah, there was evidence, but there was no like. They used MK Ultra.
We're gonna get to the two. They use MK Ultra techniques in order to wipe their brains.
Right.
Like they wipe these people's memories.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much just rape and drugs.
Yes.
So that's what it is. Yeah, and they would drop these bodies off hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They really took their time to scatter the bodies. Because they had nothing but time. Exactly.
They had nothing but time and space. No one was coming after them in any way, shape, or form. They were working in total isolation. And then we brought this up earlier. There was a discussion on the Facebook page. We were talking about, like, and it's true, there are over 50 active serial killers at any time. Something like this is probably happening right now.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, and they're probably listening to this
podcast. And that's why we talk about these things. Stay prepared, people. Stay vigilant. Be strong. So we got victim number two here.
Victim number two, Angie Montaño. Angie Montaño was a single mother who had moved from Albuquerque out to Truth or Consequences to try to get a fresh start after a bad marriage. She was friends with Cindy Hindy. Cindy Hindy brought her over to the house, drugged her, bashed her over the head. Put her into the toy box. They tortured her there for 5 days. She remembers everything.
Like, oh, yeah.
She doesn't, like, she actually, and she pleads with them to release her. Like, listen, I've got a son. Let me go back to my son. And David Parker Ray said, you know, if I'd known you so nice, I wouldn't have kidnapped you.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Like that's, that's like the scariest thing.
That's like the worst. It's almost just like, damn it, y'all, why you gotta be, why you gotta stop? You gotta stop smiling.
I was just gonna rape you and torture you, and then you gone and warmed my heart.
Why you gotta do that? Why you gotta make my heart grow three
that's
sizes
crazy.
That day?
That's crazy.
All right, this ain't the goddamn Grinch who Stole Christmas. I'm trying to rape you, bitch.
Yeah, and I think this.
Get out of here.
You gonna get here. You got here.
Yeah, well, I think this is the first time.
Bring all them presents back to Whoville on your way out.
I think this is the first time that they had ever kidnapped and abducted somebody that they knew.
Right.
Like, it was a friend of his wife's. So they took
Which
her.
Which is why, obviously, drifters tend to be the targets, because if you don't know these people, you don't know their backstories, mm-hmm. it's much, much easier to torture and rape them.
Exactly. So they took this woman, and they drove her up I-25 a couple hours. They dropped her off. She gets picked up by a cop.
Right.
Tells the cop a story, and the cop's like, oh, shit, we have to go report this. She's like, no, I don't want to go to the police. I don't want to go to the police.
Oh,
for some
God.
Reason, she had a huge irrational fear of cops. So she
well, she was probably, I mean, if she's friends with Cindy Hindi, I'm sure she had meth, you know, in her system.
She had to have had some sort of, like, past with police officers. So the cop, but once she says, like, no, I don't want to go to the cops, the guy's kind of like, well, if she doesn't want to go, there's not really much I can do. And plus, since she doesn't want to go, she kind of seems a little crazy anyway. So he just drops her off next, like, near her house. Doesn't even drop her off at her house, just close to her house. 48 hours later, that woman's right the fuck out of Truth or Consequences, goes back to Albuquerque.
Absolutely. I think that would sour Truth or Consequences for me a little bit.
So how was it a Truth or Consequences?
Hey, oh, this is great dip. This is great dip.
Oh, she was weird. She talked a lot about the dip. She didn't answer any questions.
Any questions?
I think she was crying?
I don't know, yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
And then for the third victim, Marie Parker. This is the one that Roy Yancey comes in on. Mm. She's another drifter. She was living in a pup tent on Elephant Butte.
So it's almost like... Elephant Butte. I mean, like, it's almost like, you know, she got like a little house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's almost nice.
Yeah.
It's almost nice. I mean, it's the tent.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And so Roy Yancey kidnapped her, took her to Ray's house, and they tortured her for a few days, and then Yancey killed her and helped David Parker Ray dispose of the body. And they say they never found the body.
Mm-hmm.
When they were all caught, he told the police where the body was. David Parker Ray had gone out and moved it afterwards.
Yeah, David Parker Ray is a smart motherfucker and an evil son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Now let's go back. You want to go back a little bit more to the tape?
Let's go a little bit more to the tape.
So this is now a section that describes even more fully what they're going to do and him describing how that he gets away with his crimes.
Right. And you can get the full transcript online, of course. It's very repetitive.
Post it up.
So this is a good sample of.
Yeah.
You pretty much will get all of the gist of it.
It is 11 pages long.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and
it is a long video. He liked to hear himself talk.
He loved it. It was his favorite radio.
again, sit down in a chair. You're transported back to David Parker Ray's toy box. Your pussy and asshole is going to get a real workout, especially your asshole, because I'm into Animal 6. Also, both of those holes are going to be subjected to a lot of use with some rather large dildos, among other things. And it goes without saying that there's going to be a lot of oral sex. On numerous occasions, you're going to be forced to suck cock and eat pussy until your jaws ache and your tongue is sore. You may not like it, but you're fucking sure going to do it. And that's the easy part. Our fetishes and hang-ups include stringent bondage, dungeon games, a little sadism. Nothing serious, but uncomfortable, and sometimes painful. Just a few little hang-ups we like to use when we're getting off on a bitch. If you're a young teeny bopper and ignorant about fetishes and deviations, you're about to get an enlightening crash course in sex. Who knows, you may like some of it. It happens occasionally. If we want to take the time and the trouble, even under these conditions, most bitches can be brought to orgasm. Now, I've already been told you that you're gonna be here a month or two, or maybe three, if you keep us turned on. If it's up to my lady, we'll keep you indefinitely. But personally, I like variety. A fresh pussy now and then to play with. We take 4 or 5 different girls each year, depending on our urges and sometimes accidental encounters. Basically, I guess we're like predators. Occasionally, some sweet little thing will be broke down on the side of the road, walking, bicycling, jogging. Anytime an opportunity like that presents itself and it's not too risky, we'll grab her. Now, I'm sure that you're a great little piece of ass, and you're going to be a lot of fun to play with, but I will get tired of you eventually. Now, if I killed every bitch that we kidnapped, there'd be bodies strung all over the country. Besides, I don't like killing a girl unless it's absolutely necessary. So I've devised a safe, alternative method of disposal. I have plenty of bitches to practice on over the years, so I've pretty well got it down pat. And I enjoy doing it. I get off on mind games. After we get completely through with you, you're going to be drugged up real heavy with a combination of sodium pentothal and phenobarbital. They're both hypnotic drugs that will make you extremely susceptible to hypnosis, auto-hypnosis, and hypnotic suggestion. You're going to be kept drugged a couple days while I play with your mind. By the time I get through brainwashing you, you're not going to remember a fucking thing about this little adventure. You won't remember this place, us, or what has happened to you. There won't be any DNA evidence because you'll be bathed and both holes between your legs will be thoroughly flushed out. You'll be dressed, sedated, and turned loose on some country road, bruised, sore all over. But nothing won't heal up in a week or two. The thought of being brainwashed may not be appealing to you, but we've been doing it a long time, and it works. And it's the lesser of two evils. I'm sure you'd prefer that in lieu of being strangled or having your fucking throat cut.
All right. Well, there's that one. Well, it's almost reassuring to some degree hearing that you're not going to be murdered necessarily.
I suppose so.
Like, if you're a young actress, you could consider like you're playing a role.
That's right. A very serious, serious role.
Well, to get a little bit into the inside of this guy, like the mindset of this guy, he was a sexual sadist, classic sexual sadist.
Oh, yeah.
And that he can only
get off. Yeah, and like
a
Jackie Gleason kind of sexual sadist.
Yes.
But he can only get off when another person is in physical or mental right. anguish. And the more physical and mental anguish they're in, the more he gets off. And I was watching, I watched a great show on this guy, and there was an FBI profiler that described what a sexual sadist is. She said, like, in the morning, you get up, you blow your nose, you throw your tissue, you throw a tissue in the trash can. If you leave the house and go to work the rest of the day, do you worry about that tissue? Is that tissue, like, on your mind? What happened to it? How it's doing? Not at all.
I don't
like,
care,
that's
man.
That's how these people see their victims. Just absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. They don't yeah, give a right. shit. Yeah, yeah absolutely not.
And, of course, I'm sure you guys picked up on the exact MK Ultra was in full effect here, especially with
yeah.
that part.
Yeah, and he's working for the government. I wonder if what branch of the government he was a fucking landscaper for. Was it for
it.
The Black Ops? Because they have gardeners.
They have very short grass.
He was a mechanic. Ravencroft had a fucking, like, handyman. You know what I mean? Like, they had a janitor that was there every day. They had a guy who brought the coffee, who, like, delivered the paper cups and the paper every day, like, to MK Ultra because they fucking burned through a shit ton of copy paper.
Oh, yeah.
And how much toner? How much toner we burn through? You gotta have a direct supply line, and these people every day, delivery men to the damned. These people are just as culpable. If we could find these UPS people who've been delivering to these companies, we could get to the heart of the matter. We should dress up as UPS people.
I like it.
Get into MK Ultra.
We'll figure it out. But no, you bring up a good point. The world
too
is
old
larger.
For capers.
The world is larger than just David Parker Ray. I mean, they used to throw sex parties at his home as well. So really, I mean, how many people overall do you think knew about what was going on here in the toy box?
A groovy 13.
Yeah, a hot 13, sweet 16, something like that. I mean, more than just the four people that we've spoken about already had to know because they would throw large sex parties. And Henry's going to read part of the tape about what those were like. Very, very soon.
Do you want me to jump right into it now?
Could
the
we
most
do that
disgusting
and go,
part of the tape?
Do you want to
go into the consequences?
Can I read something like the most fearful part of the tape that I think of?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no. I think, like, this part of the tape, like, before it gets to the really disgusting stuff, this is when he gets into the really psychological stuff, which is the stuff that I like the most. Like, what I like to
call...
Did
you get hard at all? When
no,
you
not okay. at all. All
right. This is what
I... Was that smile?
No! He did.
No! This is what I like to call the no hope passage. I realize that being abducted and being forced into sexual slavery is a hard pill to swallow. Some girls really have a lot of trouble with it, and I'm sure that you will to a certain extent. But face it, you can't get away. You can't say no. You're going to be naked all the time. You won't be able to struggle or resist. You're going to have to lay there and take it, good or bad, no matter what's being done to you. A scary thought? Yes, but there are no options. Nothing that you can say or do will change the fact that it's going to happen. Many girls beg and plead. Almost all of them cry a lot, especially during the first 3 or 4 days. And some of them scream and threaten. But I have a poster on the wall in the playroom that says it all. If they're worth taking, they're worth keeping. And I'm going to tell you, just so you know, since you are being kept here against your will, you will never trust anything you say, do, or promise. You are a potential threat to us, and you will always be treated as such. On numerous occasions, bitches have told me that they'd do anything I wanted them to do if I just take the chains off. I've been offered ransom money, and I've even had girls tell me they liked it. But I like to use the chains. Money's not that important, and masochists are rare as hell. I wonder what your scam's gonna be. Not anything that I haven't heard before, I bet, if you get a chance to talk at all.
Sort of sounds like the beginning of The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Let's exchange the words a little bit.
The Hebrew's lost. And so this is this next part, this section is by and large the most disgusting part of the whole tape.
Yeah.
So we could throw out a solid disclaimer saying that this is pretty fucking horrible.
Yeah. No, I think they're onto it.
This is really, I mean, this is when it gets, I mean, that everything that came before, pretty run of the mill.
Well, it's pretty intense, but
it's pretty intense, but it's not anything we haven't heard before.
Sure.
I mean, not technically, yeah, because I've never heard anybody do the tape before. I've never someone made such a presentation of it. This guy's got a real flair for the spectacular.
That's the thing. It's a theatrical event that's going on.
Yeah,
here.
It's like he's on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? The producers?
Weird.
So
now this is stepped up. This is him impressing his friends.
Yes. Also, we have a couple of real close friends that we party with once in a while. They know about our hang-ups and don't have any problems with fucking a slave. You may be required to service them occasionally, but that's an easy one. You know, for the most part, just fucking and sucking. They don't get into the heavier stuff. However, when we have a party, sometimes I like to put on a little show that you won't like at all. You'll be taken into the living room and put on a floor on your hands and knees, naked. Your wrists, ankles, knees, and hips will be strapped to a metal frame to hold your body in that position. The frame is designed for doggy fucking. Your ass up in the air, sex organs exposed, your tits hanging down on each side of a metal support bar, knees spread about 12 inches, positioned similar to that of a bitch dog in heat, right in the middle of the floor so we could sit up on the couch and chairs and watch. I'm going to rub canine breeder's musk on your back, back of your neck, and on your sex organs. Now, I have three dogs. All of them's male, because I don't need any fucking pups. One of them is a very large German shepherd that is always horny, and he loves it when I bring him into the house to fuck a woman. After I let him in the house, he'll sniff around you a little bit. Within a minute, he'll be mounting you. There's about a 50-50 chance which hole he'll get his penis into, but it doesn't seem to bother him whether it's the pussy or the asshole. His penis is pretty thin. It goes in easy, but it's about 10 inches long, and when he gets completely excited, it gets a hell of a knot right in the middle of it. Now, I've had slaves tell me that it feels like they got a baseball inside of them. It doesn't take long. He's going to hump you real fast for about 3 or 4 minutes, and while he's doing it, he'll wrap his front legs around your chest to hold him in position, and in the process, he'll probably scratch your tits up a little bit with his claws. After he gets through, he usually turns around and tries to pull out. Oh, he'll jerk a little, not much, mostly just steady pressure. And I've timed it. The knot will usually shrink up enough to come out of your pussy in about 3 minutes. If it's in your asshole, about 5 minutes. I don't use the dog all that often, but I don't deprive him of pussy either. There's no doubt that he's going to be on you a few times while you're here because I like watching it. And any time it's just you, me, and the dog, it will always be in your butt. The dog knot on his penis is big and extremely uncomfortable when he's, pushing it back and forth way up in your anus. I really enjoy watching a girl wiggle, jerk, and squirm around while he's doing it. Consequently, I give him a little assistance getting it in the right hole. Now, if you think all this stuff is sick and depraved, you haven't seen anything yet. This is a different world.
All right. Yeah, it's definitely an odd one. It's a little bit different.
It's a different kind of party. Yeah, I like a karaoke machine.
Sure, that's great.
I love
fog machine.
Oh, that's fun.
Little Smokies. I love little Smokies.
That's amazing. Swedish meatballs. I can't believe you went to
that. Is that woman getting fucked by a dog?
Yeah, that's the party.
Weird.
That's the party over there.
Oh, I see. I was just here for the treats.
Okay.
Interesting.
The baseball. Slaves. Like, I just can't imagine a slave going like, it feels like a baseball.
It kind of feels like a baseball inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Yes. All right. So
that's interesting. Like, afterwards, like, you know, that slave had a goddamn point.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
And the timing, it's like, I've timed it. Like, I can imagine sitting there like.
Yep.
No, this guy is organized, cold, cunning, perfect killer, and then what happened to him?
In my opinion, truly the saddest part of the story, if we want to get to the...
The third victim, Cindy V. Hill. She was a friend, again, a friend of Cindy Handy. Cindy was wanting to go off to visit her daughter in Oregon who was giving birth. So she asked Ray.
Such a good relative. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Go support someone who's in a time of need.
Yeah, so she asked David Parker Ray, hey, can I go to Oregon to visit my daughter while she's giving birth to my first grandchild?
By hell, that is the most wonderful idea I've ever seen. Give my regards.
And he says, well, sure, you can go just so long as you get me a sex slave before you leave. That's true.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so they get this woman, Cindy V. Hill, and they bring her back to the toy box. And, Henry, why don't you take it from here? The escape.
I love this is just, again, horror movie come to life. So what happened was that the daughter was in charge of watching her and goes to answer the telephone, of course, because she's a teenager, always on the phone with the texting.
Blabbing with the boys.
What?
She was in her mid-20s. But
yeah, sorry. She left the keys to her wrist shackles near where she can get to it. And this girl saw her opportunity, got the keys again, which he even said that. He's like, we look at you as an enemy to us and as a threat to us, which he was right about.
Yep.
And she took the keys. She unlocked the shackles. Snuck up on the girl. The girl saw what was going on. They attacked each other. They had a giant fight. Imagine this again. It's just like, naked girl who has been ravaged for 3 days. Like they're fighting down in the toy box all over each other. And then she grabbed an ice pick that he had left on the floor.
The naked girl.
Yeah. Stabbed the daughter as many times as she could and escaped. And they found her.
The daughter threw a lamp at her on the way out.
Oh, that's right.
Hit her in the head.
I mean,
it was a huge scene.
Huge fight. And then they found her with the collar around her neck and shackles on her hands, like screaming on the highway.
Well, here's where they found it. Well, first the girl was able to get to the phone herself and call 911 from the residence, but they didn't really know what was going on.
It was hung up.
Yeah, and
daughter hung it up really quick.
Yeah, yeah, it was a hang up, and so this woman made
is this a fake hang up?
What is this? What
this is
this?
The fake hang up?
Ah, those fucking kids.
Yeah, yeah. And this woman made a run to one of the nearest houses, which was an old lady,
which was also occupied by serial killers.
Yeah. Right, right.
And she was
God
wearing nothing.
Damn it!
But a dog collar and with a chain attached to it, completely naked, and just barges into this old lady's home wearing nothing but a chain.
And initially,
you get out of here! I'm trying to watch Wapner.
Wapner, I love Wapner. But initially, she runs. She nearly gets hit by one car, swerves around her, and then another car. She's like trying to flag them down for help, and she had no idea if the daughter was chasing her or what. So she was like, "I'm going to go back there." I mean, it's just horrifying.
And here's something that the David Parker Ray said in the tape, which actually turned out to be true. It would not be prudent on our part to have you running around in the woods screaming rape. It would be an embarrassment, to say the least.
That's right. So that is the beginning
you don't
want to of
ruin
the end.
His temptation. He
That's
has, like,
right.
His reputation in town.
So the beginning of the end of David Parker Ray began as soon as that woman made the very strong decision to grab those fucking keys and bust on out of that place.
Just keep fighting every single time.
Yeah. So the woman makes the escape, and of course David Parker Ray and Cindy Handy go out looking for her. The cops stop them, and they admit to abducting the woman. But the reason why is that they say that they kidnapped her for her own good in order to help her kick a heroin addiction.
Yes.
That's a really ridiculous funny line.
Well, it's a bizarre 12-step program you have, Mr. Parker.
We were just done taking her to Six Flags, and then, she went all Humpty Dumpty on us.
Yep. And so he was arrested. Both, all of them were arrested. Cindy Handy, she was arrested, David Parker Ray, Roy Yancey.
And they all pulled plea bargains.
Jesse
they all
Ray.
Got fucking plea bargains in the fucking first place, is ludicrous.
Yeah, well, the end of the story is the worst part.
They all ratted each other out, like, they all tried to sell each other out under the bridge, which was fine because they're all horrible people.
Yeah. Cindy Henney got 36 years plus probation. They went through... David Parker Ray was really... His trials are fairly interesting. He had three trials ahead of him. He had the first one
because they didn't have any remains.
Yeah, right. No remains. But
they had videotape, and they had
two of his victims were still alive. The videotape that they found a videotape of a woman who was bound and gagged, and had a very unique tattoo on her leg, which kind of looked like driftwood. But they showed it, but they didn't know who she was, so they showed it on the local TV news, and a woman watched it and said, "Holy shit, that's my ex-daughter-in-law's tattoo, Kelly Garrett, the first woman we talked about, who for years had been plagued by nightmares and had no idea what was going on." So the cops go, and they're like, "Hey, excuse me, man, can we... you know, have a look. Do you have any tattoos? We're in, you know, we're investigating a crime." And so she shows them the tattoo, and they go, "Ugh."
Yeah.
And showed her a still of the rape video.
God damn.
Showing
so
her
his
tattoo.
Shit worked, too. Right. All of the hypnosis stuff worked.
Yeah, and showed her the still, and then, like, it all just came, like,
shoom.
Like, everything came flooding back. And to this day, she's like... I mean, I saw her interviewed, and she says that she can't go anywhere without a gun, can't go anywhere alone, constantly afraid, constantly.
It
would have
been a better,
of course.
The only thing she said was, "It's a very hard life."
Absolutely. I mean, what she needs to do is move to the city, get a job as a publishing assistant in the wild and wacky, like, you know, upper echelons of New York City party life, and get a couple of gaggle of friends and start walking around partying, drinking Cosmos, wearing you know, like, fun shoes and stuff like that, and then she'd be fine.
Yeah, it would have been a better ending to the movie The Notebook if she would have just gotten her memory back and then just like, take it away.
Next up was Angie Montaño, who died right before the trial began. So damn, there was no trial there. And with Cindy V. Hill, I heard a bit of a court recording from their from the actual trial. She was on the stand testifying against him, and the prosecutor just walked up to her and slammed the collar and the chain that she was wearing as she escaped, just slammed it in front of her, and she just flipped out and started screaming like, "You bastard, you did this to me! You did this to me! You ruined my life!" They had to completely stop the entire trial. They had to call the ambulance to try to calm her down because she was just fucking freaking out.
Of course.
And at that point, David Parker Ray was just like, let's just stop this. And he pleaded.
What a classy move! He pulled a Romney.
Yeah, and he pleaded and he pleaded guilty. And I saw a video of him. They interviewed him just like about his sexual perversions. Like, you know, "Do you really do these things?" And he said, and he had this like kind of faraway, wistful look in his eye while he was saying it. He said, "I get my excitement from making women happy. I get my pleasure."
He's like a Steve Madden.
"From their pleasure."
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He and sounds like, yeah, that's...
So, okay, so he was sentenced. How many years in prison did he get before we...
Yeah, David Parker Ray was sentenced to 224 years in prison on September 30th, 2001. In March of 2002, he was being transferred from jail to prison to serve out his sentence, and he died in the holding cell without serving a single day in prison for his crime.
So it's almost
the American
like he
justice
died a free
system.
Man.
Like, he did die a free man.
Yeah.
He did not spend one day in prison.
Yeah. God damn.
I mean, and he was 61 when he died.
I thought he was 59.
Well, he was 59
when he was caught.
Yeah,
okay.
When he was caught. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so this man...
He won.
He did it his way.
That's right. He's the Frank Sinatra of serial killers. I agree.
So this is an important reminder, you know. Check who your friends are.
That's
like,
right.
Think about
if you know anyone with
a
rhyming name, they have a toy box.
They have a
or
toy
they know
box.
Somebody that does.
Always be vigilant.
That's
Don't
right.
be a drifter.
Don't be a drifter. And if you're a girl, you've got to take some karate lessons. Do some major
take
shit.
Take some karate lessons.
I don't know. Yeah. Just do whatever you got to do.
Practice the Houdini thing where you contract your muscles and the shackles fall off of you.
My theory is that social media has ruined drifter killing forever.
I think so, too. It's really put a damper on it.
It is.
Because everyone's always Instagram and everything. You can't be a drifter, bro.
I really do.
Like, location pops up every single time you take a picture of a road sign.
I think the 70s, 80s, and 90s were like the golden age of drifter women serial killers.
Absolutely. You got serial killers wandering around and be like, how do I make this new? How do I make things different? It's all been done before.
Yeah, because these women are all over the place. Like, hell, that murder that happened, you know, when I was growing up back home, the woman, the lot lizard that was killed by those three meth heads, there was no investigation into her murder because she was just drifting from place to place.
Yeah, no one knows.
And if you want
a
lot lizard is what truck drivers call prostitutes that hang out at truck stops.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, great. So that's Marcus, and then I'm Ben, and then Who are you over there?
Well, I was Taylor Swift, but now
you know I'm too. Yeah, that's the thing.
But the thing is that yeah, that song though was really. I really think that song really could have done well being played in the toilet.
If you had, yeah, that's the thing.
We'll never,
I would have. I would have rather heard him talk over that song if I had to wake up and hear one thing. I would rather hear David Parker rap.
Yeah, right, just it's just like hours of Taylor Swift explaining why her and Jake Gyllenhaal broke up.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Magustalations.
Hail me.
Hail Gene.
Be scared of your neighbors.
Definitely. Well, be aware of them.